Hallelujah. Well, last night was amazing. God really did some great things. And so today I want to continue on with the spiritual warfare training and equipping. Are you all good with that? All right. Today I want to expose how demons operate against us in our life. To have a better understanding of really what's going on behind the scenes. Say behind the scenes. In the spirit realm, and how they try to negatively affect our life, all right? So the title of my message is this, Exposing Demonic Strategy. They hate being exposed, and I love doing it. Come on, let's go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, hallelujah. I mentioned this passage last night, and I told everyone, I said, I'm going to be going a lot deeper tomorrow, today, right now. On this passage. So that's what we're going to do. Matthew 12, just verses 43 through 45 here. That's what we're going to start with. Exposing demonic strategy. They do have a strategy, by the way. All right, we're going to pull it down. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. The key to that is he found it empty. Say empty. Empty. He found it empty. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there, underline it, and the last state or condition of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. Demons are always looking for a human body. They're always looking for a human soul, mind, will, and emotions to dwell in, to torment the person that they're indwelling. Demons call the human body the house, their house, all right? In the soul. So the one only part of man, of human beings that's born again is the spirit man. The soul, mind, will, and emotions is not born again because you got to renew it with the word of God. The physical body, well, we know that's not born again. So the two parts, two out of the three that are not born again, that's where demons can come against a person. Yay, even Christians. Hello, somebody. So they call it their house, all right? Demon spirits, by the way, a lot of people think that demonic spirits are robots. They're like just robotic. They're not. They are spirit beings. They have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. The one thing they're lacking from us is a physical human body. You understand that? All right? So they're not robots. They think for themselves just like us. They have awareness. They have consciousness of what they are doing, of what they're saying. They desire and crave to be in a human body to carry out their evil functions and to express their, come on, listen, to express their evil emotions and actions of destruction. All right? See, we got to learn this. Because they are our enemy. You understand that? They are our spiritual enemy. We need to know this stuff, all right? Jesus revealed to us in this passage that when they get cast out of a human, it says they go through dry places. They seek rest and they find none. Why? Because they don't have a human body or a house to live in. They're homeless. And they're not, here's why. Here's why they don't like being homeless. Ready? Because they're not able to fully express themselves through a physical body. Oh, come on. We're gonna go much deeper into this. You guys okay this morning? Here we go. This is spiritual warfare training level 600, 700, whatever. I mean, we're going deeper today, all right? This isn't just 101. So they try to go back into what was familiar to them from where they were cast out, all right? From where they came out of the home that they had where they once found rest. They're always trying to come back into that house into that mind, into that soul, to torment that individual once again. They are waiting for that person that they came out of. Listen to me very carefully. They are looking. This passage, Jesus made it very clear that when a demon leaves, they're looking to get back in to the person they came out of originally. They're waiting for another open door for them to get back in, to have a legal right to get back into that house. They're waiting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You can say it this way. They're waiting for you to give them the keys to your house again. So this is the importance of discipleship and fully committing to Jesus after getting deliverance and being set free. Discipleship is so important. Outreach events and ministries are great, but how many are really being discipled after that? Are they falling away again? You see what I'm saying? One of the main purposes in the mission statement of Living Waters Chapel, we are a discipleship church. Amen? Now, I want you to notice, when an unclean spirit or demon has an opening to get back into that person, Jesus made it quite clear that it's not just that one demon coming back into that person. That evil spirit, Jesus said, takes with him seven other demons, not just seven other, ready? More wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state or condition of that person is worse than it was the first time. Oh my. So you could say it this way then. You could take and infer from what Jesus said here in Matthew 12. The more demons that are present within a person, in their human body, in their soul, the worse the state or condition of that person is. More demons, the more areas that are affected in a person's life. Because like I talked about last night, each demonic spirit, they're named according to their function of what they do. So obviously, the demon is coming back with seven more that have, come on, different functions. Did you catch that? There's different functions, meaning there's going to be a greater level of demonization. You guys doing all right?
Yes.
All right. The main goal of demons, as I said last night, is to steal and to kill and to destroy the person that they are in. They do that by mainly this. Are you ready? Through the hardening of a person's heart with negative thoughts and negative emotions. That's how it all begins. All right? I said last night, They steal, kill, and destroy from the inside out. From the inside out. So you could say it this way then. Thoughts give birth, gives birth to emotions. Thoughts give birth to emotions, and then negative emotion gives birth to wrong spoken words. Did you see the flow chart there?
Yeah.
Wrong thoughts, bad emotions, spoken words you probably shouldn't say, that hands a key over to the demons. Now, demons understand and know that very well, by the way. This isn't just throwing spaghetti at a wall. They know exactly. Demonic spirits are very, very sharp, and they've been around a while.
Yeah.
They've been around a while. And they know spiritual laws even better than you and I, unfortunately. But that's going to change. Amen?
Amen?
If the enemy can negatively affect the heart or the soul, mind, will, and emotions of a person, the thought process, the belief system on the inside, the emotions, the imagination, the person's spoken words, then demons can effectively take control of a person's life. It's all about the heart. Say, it's all about the heart. That's why God says, oh, I wish they had a heart in them that served me. It would be well with them and their children forever. So there's a fight for your heart. God wants your heart, but so do demons. The heart of that person becomes, when they have demons, becomes a tornado a blender of negative thoughts, negative emotions, spoken words that they shouldn't be speaking, that's given place to the enemy. And so that is what it means to be demonized. Stay demonized. That word in the Bible where it talks about being possessed by demons, that literally means demonized. Demonized simply means this. It's not like The Exorcist that you watch Hollywood style. It's not the head spinning around spitting pea soup out. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Demonized simply means this. To be possessed, how I don't like using the word possessed because it made people get into this whole word game of things. Let's not get into the word game. Let's not get caught up in that. Demonized simply means this. It means being influenced by or under the control of a demon or demons, whether that's inside, listen to me, or outside of the person. It simply means to be influenced by or under the control of that demon or demons. Demonization happens, listen to me, it just doesn't happen by the will of the demon. Did you just hear what I said? Demons, they do not have control over you as far as you're not a puppet on a string. Are you following me? Demonization happens when this happens, when we willingly give or relinquish control to a demon. Either knowingly or unknowingly. Did you hear what I just said? You're relinquishing control of your life, of your actions, of your mouth, willingly or unknowingly. And I'm going to say probably 99% is unknowingly. You think it's just yourself, but it could be a demon speaking through you. See, they can't control us apart from our will, okay? The person that's demonized has willingly given over control of their life, control of their thoughts and actions over to demons. There's different levels of demonization, all right? We know that from what Jesus said here in Matthew 12. Seven more wicked than themselves. We know there's different levels of demonization or influence a demon can have over a person's life, right? Some more than others. So I want you to notice that the demon wants to be in a physical body, in a soul, a human soul, so bad that it gets more demons, more help that will cause the person, listen to this, that will cause the person to be caught up in so much bondage that it will make it harder for them to get cast out next time. Did you just hear what I said? That's the whole point of getting more demons, because the demon's saying, look, all right, I was already cast out. Now I'm not going to take a chance at this. I'm going to get seven more wicked that's going to come in, that's going to take over seven more areas of bondage. That it's going to make it harder for you to evict me out of your house. Oh, it's getting real quiet in here. Not because it's hard to cast out a demon, but because the person in bondage will be so overwhelmed emotionally with the wrong thinking and the wrong actions and the wrong spoken words that they will be filled with habitual sin. They will be filled with the lifestyle of sin. And how many of you know sin is a legal right? Unconfessed sin is a legal right for a demon not to leave. Now I know this topic is very new to some of you, but welcome to Christianity. Hey, Jesus, everywhere he went, he dealt with demons. So what makes us think we're not going to be in his ambassadors? Demons didn't go. Demons didn't leave the planet. They're still around. They're still inhabiting people. People need freedom. People need deliverance. They need liberty. Amen. And they're counting on you and me to understand this kind of stuff.
Yes.
That will pull them out of the pit.
Amen.
If we don't, nobody will. Yeah. So it's the emotional bondage that is the stronghold of the demons that keeps them from leaving. Last night I said there's what we call the legal right of entry. That's how a demon gets in, but how a demon stays in a person is through a stronghold. Say stronghold. Listen to the teaching last night on YouTube, all right? And I talked a little bit more about that. Emotional healing is so important in the process of leading a person to deliverance, freedom from demonic spirits. Emotional bondage, in fact, first opened the door to demons to let them in. And emotional healing then closes the door to the demons when they're gone and prevents them from coming back. Did you hear what I just said? At first, it was first emotional bondage and trauma that opened the door for them to come in. But the emotional healing is what keeps them away. All right? Emotional healing is what is needed. Emotional healing is what pulls down the strongholds that the demons are holding on to in a person's life. Now, you might be in here listening to this teaching and you're sweating like a pig right now. You might be one that has demons. Seriously, you could be manifesting something because demons don't like when they get exposed. They don't like it. They would rather me just go off and talk some seeker-sensitive stuff. But when I start talking about demons, when I start to talk about spiritual warfare, if you got a demon, you might even feel a little sick right now. You might feel a little something on the stomach, just giving you a little clue to that. But emotional healing is what's needed to pull down the stronghold that the demons are holding on to. Matthew 12 says, seven other spirits or demons more wicked than the first. So this reveals then, listen to me very carefully where I'm going with this, that the Holy Spirit showed me. This reveals the absolute danger in backsliding as a Christian. Here's why. This is talking about Christians that are falling, that fall away from the Lord into a lifestyle of sin, back into their old ways, back into their old bondages and patterns of living. Why? Listen to me. Deliverance ministry is primarily a benefit for Christians. Backsliding or falling away from the Lord is something that only a Christian can do. An unbeliever's not backslidden because they didn't get saved yet. To backslide means you were once in that place, but now you're falling away from the Lord. Are you following me? So an unbeliever cannot keep a demon from coming back. Only a committed Christian can keep demons out. A Christian that doesn't open the doors to demons. So an unbeliever, they have a open door all the time. Unbelievers have the open door all the time. Now, but listen to me. Say caveat. There's two caveats to this. There's only two times that you should be casting demons out of an unbeliever. This is it. Number one, if they're totally out of their mind and they can't think straight for themselves. That's the first one, okay? Number two is if the Holy Spirit leads you to do it. So if the person is totally lunatic, out of their mind, insane asylum, whatever, yeah, go ahead, cast the demon out so they can get in their right mind, right? Number two, if the Holy Spirit leads you to do it, then do it. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, I will lead some in some cases to cast out of an unbeliever because I know that person is going to become born again and commit to Christ after getting delivered. Did you just hear what I just said? Yeah. Isn't that good? Yeah. The Holy Spirit knows. So if the Holy Spirit's leading you to do it, do it. The Holy Spirit obviously knows this person's probably going to get saved after they go through a deliverance, all right? So as far as the unbelievers, though, your main job is not to cast demons out of them. Your main job is this: get them saved. Get them born again, and then we'll deal with the deliverance aspect so the demons don't come back. Amen? We can disciple them. But as far as the backsliding Christian, knowing the truth, experiencing and tasting of the grace and goodness of God, and falling away is a very serious thing, isn't it? Wouldn't you say? All right? And it will open people up to more demonic bondage. Let me show you some. Go to Hebrews 6:4 real quick. Hebrews 6:4. Is an interesting verse that should scare hell right out of people. Now, Hebrews 6:4, backsliding, when you tasted of the good thing, and then you go back into the pig slop, All right? That's not a good thing. Look at this. Hebrews 6:4. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. Okay, so what it's saying is basically it's a bad thing if you fall away from Christ. Did you catch that? All right, that you don't want to fall away. You do not want to find yourself in that spiritual condition. Backsliding is extremely serious. You tasted of the good thing. Now you're falling away back into the world, okay? Don't tread on the goodness and grace of God in your life. Don't use it as an opportunity to sin, but use it to live a holy life of obedience to God. Amen? All right, now. Back to the point of the demon getting seven more spirits more wicked than itself to invade a human body and soul. This reveals that demons are very strategic. They have a plan. They have a motive. They're not robots. They're thinking this stuff through. Just like how you and I think things through, they have a mind, will, and they have emotions, right? They freaked out when Jesus was preaching, right? What do we have to do with you? Well, they have emotions. They have everything you and I have except this earth suit, physical body, all right? And that's what they're trying to get in. It also reveals that there's different ranks. There's different levels of demons that are stronger or more powerful. More, it says more wicked. Okay, maybe there's bolder demons than some others. There's some demons that are mind control spirits. There's other ones that are spirits of anger, rage, murder, where there's more, you know what I'm saying? And they're nasty, by the way, when you deal with those. But it's very interesting. Listen to this. The deeper a person goes into bondage, the stronger or more wicked or bolder the demons that enter are given access into a person's life. The deeper and more consistent a person lives in sin, it opens them up to more severe demonization. Watch where I go on this. I mean, the Holy Spirit, when I was typing this, I was just blown away at what he was showing me. So here's what came to me as I was praying about this point, about Matthew 12. The deeper and longer someone gets into sin, stays in bondage, the more they do it, the more they partake in it, here's what the Holy Spirit said happens. Are you ready? It becomes a part of their identity, of who they think they are, in their heart, in their mind, in their soul. Their conscious and subconscious mind, it then becomes programmed because of that person continually meditating on that sin, meditating on how to act on that evil and on that sin. It stirred up emotions toward that sin, toward that thing. And even science teaches us this. Listen to this. Are you ready? Anything we attach an emotion to in our life has a greater impact, and it programs our subconscious mind. Did you just hear what I said? Anything we attach any kind of an emotion to, a strong emotion, it programs the subconscious part of our mind, or you could say it this way, our belief system on the inside of us. So because that bondage and sin has become a part of that person's identity, oh, I'm always going to be addicted to alcohol. I'm always going to be an addict. I'm always going to be addicted to this. Oh, I'm always going to do. Are you following me? It becomes entrenched as part of their identity of who they believe they are now. Because that bondage and sin has become a part of that person's identity, and the demons in that person have a greater negative influence over that person because of that. That person now, here's what happens. Are you ready? Say, I'm listening. That person cannot separate demonic temptation, demonic thoughts, demonic compulsions from their own thoughts and actions and compulsions. It's almost like them and the demon become one and the same. This is going to help somebody if you're listening. All right? This is when demonization and the person become one and the same. It's a corrupt, it's a false identity of who they are, all right? What's going on is this. The moral compass on the inside of them is just spinning out of control. They have no idea. They have no idea where's north, south, east, west. Their moral compass is just totally out of control. Their life is out of control. You ever known anyone like that? This is what's going on. They've taken that bondage, that stronghold, what demons are doing, and they made it their own identity. This is when a person gets to that point, when that becomes their identity, this is the point in a person's life when they start to do things, listen to me, that they never thought they would ever do in their life. They thought, I would never do that. You ever heard anybody say that? Maybe you said it before. Man, my life was a mess. I never thought I'd go that deep into that. Never thought I'd have any part of that. There is so much confusion within the person about their identity. There's a hopelessness, a depression that is formed in their heart, in their thought life. Their will is beaten down to the point. Ready? Here's why. Here's why they're one and the same with this demon now. Their will is beaten down to the point now that there's absolutely no resistance to the demonic compulsions or thoughts. This is the level that demons attain to that they want to get. Why? Because they want to express themselves. They want to express themselves through the human body as if it was their own body. Now, a backslidden, when we talk about a backslidden Christian, I think it's fair to say a backslidden Christian probably never reads the Word of God, probably never meditates on the Word of God. Would you agree? That's probably true, right? All right, they avoid the Word of God. And a lot of times they avoid even going to church. They don't want to hear sermons. They don't want to be in the presence of God. There's absolutely no desire for it. Because if they did do those things, they got into the Word, they attended a local church, getting in the corporate anointing. If they did, it would begin to sort out or separate the thoughts between the soul and the spirit. Go to Hebrews 4:12 real quick. You getting anything out of this? Oh, man, the Holy Spirit is analyzing this. He's equipping us. He's teaching us. It's like he's showing us every step that leads up to severe demonization. All right? Why? Because he wants us to avoid it in our personal life, and he wants us to help others. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 4:12, very well-known verse. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." That's why demons don't want you to get the Word of God in your heart. Demons are trying to influence you to stay away from the Word of God, not to get the Word of God in your heart, because they know they know that it will bring a clarity, it will bring an understanding of their true of the person's true identity in Christ, and it will separate, listen, soulish, fleshly, demonic thoughts and holy, pure, and spiritual thoughts. It will clear up. Here's what it'll be when you get into the Word. This is what it'll do. It will clear up the confusion within your heart. It will expose the strategy of demons and it'll begin to put the person back on track with the will of God, the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit. It will bring clarity to their true identity. And that's what demons are desperately trying to keep from Christians and those in bondage. All right? This brings me to my next point. Here we go. Demons operate through the soul, mind, will, and emotions, in the soul part of us, fleshly desires. How many of you ever heard someone say, "Oh, that's not a demon, that's just your flesh"? Demons operate through the fleshly desires of humans. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Well, all it is, it's trying to give an excuse, and it allows demonic spirits to continue to hide and operate, okay? So the word of God separates soul and spirit. Say soul and spirit. A part of the soul that is being separated is not only our own thoughts. Listen, this is what the Holy Spirit said. When the word of God is separating soul and spirit, it's not separating our own soulish thoughts. It's separating demonic thoughts too. Did you just hear what I said? It separates demonic thoughts. Spiritual thoughts are not only your thoughts. Did you know that? When you have good spiritual thoughts, those aren't necessarily just your thoughts. It could be the Holy Spirit giving you that thought. Yeah. Just like the Holy Spirit can give you a thought, demons can give you a thought too. Right. All right? Demons operate, again, through the soul, through the flesh, meaning the fleshly desires, okay? Our soul or mind is not born again, like I said, right? It must be renewed with the word of God. An unrenewed mind is a playground for demons. Yeah. Write that down. An unrenewed mind is a playground for demons. All right? When Ephesians 4:27 commands us not to give place to the devil, it's talking about in our mind, in our soul, in our thought life. Don't even give them place. Don't even think about it. Don't think about that evil stuff, right? An unrenewed mind is open real estate for demons to get a stronger hold in your life, all right? In fact, it's the first part that the demon, if a demonic spirit's trying to get in a person, that's the first thing they do. They throw evil thoughts, and they hope you take the bait, okay? That's what they're trying to do. Show me a person that has demons, and I will guarantee you there's a part of their soul or mind that is not renewed with the word of God. Now, this is an interesting thing because it's almost like you can take the soul and put different compartments on it. Because a person, it seems, can have it totally together in one area of their life, but in another area, they're an absolute mess. They're a wreck. Have you ever known anyone like that? So the enemy knows the weakness of a person. They know exactly where the weak spot is, all right? Demons can sometimes influence the words that we speak if our mind is not renewed. And we give into a thought, and they are trying to interject their thoughts into our thought life. Let me give you a couple examples of how it could be the enemy speaking through you. Don't think none of us are exempt from that. And I'll show you why in a moment. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. That's why we always got to be on the ball, and you got to sort out, think before you speak. Okay? Look at this. Oh, the Holy Spirit gave me something here that I know a lot of you will say, oh, yeah. Matthew 16, 21 through 23. And it says, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, to rebuke Jesus, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he, Jesus, turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Jesus specifically rebuked Satan, but Peter's the one that did the speaking. Now, I do not believe that Jesus was calling Peter Satan. Peter spoke the very words that the enemy, that Satan influenced Peter to speak to Jesus to try to stop him from going and getting crucified, from fulfilling the will of God. Peter was influenced to say those words from Satan himself. Now, it's going to be very rare that Satan will ever influence you personally. Satan is only one spiritual being. Demons do his bidding. So it's probably a demon putting that thought. Are you following me? All right. But this also reveals, are you ready for this? Here we go. This account here also reveals that the enemy will try to use people close to you to not fulfill the will of God in your life. Did you just hear what I said? Most of the time we just pick out about how, you know, how Jesus rebuked it. Let's take a moment and camp out on this point. Satan didn't just use some random dude to walk up to Jesus and say, no, I don't want you to do that. He used someone who is close to him, like Peter. It means nothing to you if someone comes up to you and says something that's off. You just kind of ignore it, shove it off, and you move on with your life. But if someone is close to you says something, if someone that's close to you comes against a dream in your heart, someone close to you tries to stop you from what you know that God is showing you on the inside. Now it makes you pause and think, doesn't it? You give it more thought when in consideration when it's someone close to you. And they might even influence you to stop pursuing something and for you to get out of the will of God. Again, demons are very strategic. Satan is very strategic. We must be aware that demons can use anyone to try to throw us off course from the will of God for our life. Amen? Just know that that's a strategy they're going to use. All right? And when it happens, you're probably going to know it. You're going to be reminded of this message today. And when you know God's telling you to do something and someone comes against it, don't you just kind of feel a lack of peace of what the other person's saying? Like it just don't feel right, right? So this is why it's important for you to pray and hear and be led by the Holy Spirit for yourself, not by just what some other people are saying to you, okay, or what they think. The more, in fact, you know, I know the word says in a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom, right? And that's true. Ready? If you go to the right people, just remember this, the more people you talk to about something, there's a greater possibility of being led astray with wrong advice, probably. And that wrong advice could literally be coming from a demon through that individual themselves. All right. So the Bible also says this is where you got to balance out the word, right? It says, don't cast your pearls to the swine. In other words, don't cast your dreams, something very important to you, to people, number one, who aren't close to the Lord, who aren't spiritually minded. Are you following me? Yeah. All right. Y'all doing okay? Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56. So that's the first example. And this is an example that a lot of people don't really even think about, but this is right in line. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for a journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? Look at what Jesus said. But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, listen, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Wow. Obviously, James and John got caught up in the flesh, right? They disconnected from the heart of Jesus, from the mission of Jesus, and it caused them to be influenced by the wrong spirit. Did you catch that? All right? Jesus said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. Now, this does not mean that James and John had demons. Maybe they did. Who knows? But it doesn't necessarily mean that. But they were obviously influenced in their thoughts by the wrong spirit, by the enemy. Because Jesus, as he said, he was sent to save, to heal, to restore mankind, not to destroy them, right? So, and we as his ambassadors, we got to keep that in mind as well, amen? We can't let our flesh get in the way of our true mission on this earth. Amen. So be very careful that you don't disconnect. Listen to me. That you don't disconnect from the heart of Jesus and the heart of your Heavenly Father. You will then be an open target to demons to lead you astray with the wrong attitudes, the wrong motives. Come on. And as it said here, the wrong spoken words. Stay connected to the heart of Jesus. Stay connected to your Heavenly Father. Amen. We want to feel about things and people the way He feels about them. Not our own mess of offense or whatever we're dealing with in the flesh. So demons operate through the flesh of a person. Again, I said this before. There's some visitors. I want to say it again. It's called the works of the flesh and not the works of demons because ultimately it's our own free will that gives into doing those evil works. So it's the works of the flesh because it's the responsibility rests on us, right? The devil can't make you do anything. They can influence you, but you're the one that's really, come on, pulling the trigger on it. Amen? All right. The best that demons can do is give you an idea. They can give you a thought. They can stir up the flesh and lust on the inside of you. It awakens the wrong desire. That's what they're really trying to do. They're trying to get you and I to cave in and give control to them. All right? It's a mindset. All right? So fleshly desires can only be acted upon when we're not walking or being led, being influenced in our thought life by the Spirit. Go to Galatians 5. Let me show you something here real quick. Let me just take a moment and read this. Galatians 5, 16 through 21. I just want to read that real quick. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust or the strong desires, that means, of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So what do you think the enemy is going to try to stir up in you? The flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. In other words, it's a no-brainer, right? Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. These are all things we were never meant to walk in God's original intent, and it still is intent. We don't walk in them. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And the like. In other words, it's just a partial list. There's a lot more. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who, underline it, practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right, no. So it is possible for any Christian to be influenced or demonized in any areas of the flesh. All right? So you gotta see here. It's saying don't do the walk in the flesh. If it's telling us not to do it, it must mean it's possible for us to do it, right? Some of you probably did it this morning, in fact. I'll move on now. But it all begins with a thought in your mind, a thought in your heart. Not every thought is your thought. Get the Word of God in your heart so it can filter, so it can separate what is soulish, what is fleshly. Amen? Now, here's what I want to go next. Here we go. Not every emotion that you're feeling is your emotion. Oh, my, my, my. This is where people get so confused. Let me say it one more time. Not every emotion that you feel is your own emotion. It could be a demonic emotion. Demonization has the capability for you to feel what demons are feeling. Did you hear what I just said? Just like you, now, demonization, again, demonization, not just on the inside. You can be influenced, right, if they're outside. So demonization, inside or outside, I'm talking about. Just like you can sense the love, the peace, the joy of the Holy Spirit, all right, or you can feel when the Holy Spirit's grieved with something. Have you ever felt that? When the Holy Spirit's grieved, you can feel that grieving of something, right? When you're walking in the Spirit, you can feel the negative emotions of demons if you're in a fleshly mindset. Satan, demons, and the entire kingdom of darkness. I've talked about this before. I want to bring it back. Satan, demons, and the entire kingdom of darkness. They lost the presence of God and the purity that was within and upon them when they got kicked out of heaven. They carry a different atmosphere now. Now, they no longer carry, you could say it this way, demons in the kingdom of darkness, all of them, they no longer carry the atmosphere of heaven. Now, there, when angels are present, you can feel the presence of God. Can you not? Has anybody ever experienced that? When there's angelic angels around, you just know it because you can feel the atmosphere of heaven, the glory of God, the presence of God. Well, demons lost that. The kingdom of darkness has lost. They carry around death. They carry around heaviness and negativity. The entire kingdom of darkness has a heaviness upon them, a spiritual darkness attached to and upon them that they carry upon themselves, ready for this, and transmit to humans. That is why certain places that have demons have a very dark and heavy atmosphere. It just feels like bondage. It feels depressing. It feels like sadness. You can feel that evil presence. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's a difference between the atmosphere of heaven and the atmosphere of hell. The point I'm trying to make is that some negative emotions that you feel are not your own, but it's the presence of a demon or demons in your life, all right, that you're sensing. Demons, by the way, they're not joyful. They're constantly tormented. Did you know that? They're constantly angry. They're enraged. They're constantly thinking, listen to me, of their ultimate defeat when they get thrown into the lake of fire for eternity, because it is coming. I just want to remind every demonic spirit of that right now. Yeah. Amen? Amen? They're losers. Yeah. We're the winners through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Have you ever felt a negative shift in your attitude or in your mood, and there was absolutely no reason for it? It just came out of nowhere. I mean, just totally. I mean, one minute you were doing fine, living life, and all of a sudden now it's like everyone wants to stay away from you. You're like the guy at the tombs, you know. Okay, you didn't get that. Well, I'll be reading that in a moment just to refresh your memory. All right. The Word of God refers to a spirit or a demon of heaviness that's connected to depression, deep sadness, and despair. Every demon carries a spiritual heaviness with them because that is their spiritual nature now. All right? Go to Luke 8. Luke 8. Hallelujah. You're going to walk out of here smarter than you did spiritually than when you first walked in. Amen? Amen. Luke 8, 26 through 31. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met Jesus, a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs, in a cemetery. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Now, according to the Word of God, there's something I never seen this point. This has been here the whole time. This is interesting how the Holy Spirit can just illuminate one certain point. Are you ready for this? According to the Word of God, this demonized man had demons for a long time. That is a key that I've read probably so many times, but it never jumped out at me. He had demons for a long time. The Holy Spirit illuminated that phrase to me for several reasons. First of all, he had demons for a long time, which made the level of his demonization, the Holy Spirit said, get worse over time. This wasn't just one day, this guy's good, you know, playing baseball with the kids and, you know, going to the grocery store for his wife. And then all of a sudden he's barking like a dog naked in a cemetery. Are you following me? The Holy Spirit said he put it in here to show it was over a long period of time, the demonization, the control of the demonic spirits got worse and worse over time. The longer, this is what the Holy Spirit said, the longer you go without seeking deliverance, without seeking help, and you're giving into the influence and the compulsions of demons, you will become more controlled by demons over time. That's when it becomes a part of your identity. Over time, these negative thoughts became a part of this man's identity. We don't know what exactly this man went through in his life. The Bible doesn't reveal that. But there is obviously some very negative things and emotional pain that this man had that led him to this point. The Holy Spirit said that he put this in the Word of God as a warning to people. Listen to me. To seek help. To seek deliverance. To not allow the demonic influence to grow and fester in your life. I'm not saying that you're going to go naked in a cemetery and bark like a dog. I'm not saying that, but it's possible. My point is, the bondage gets worse and worse over time. The longer you allow demonic influence to grow and fester in your life, here's what the Holy Spirit said. Are you ready for this? This was so powerful. Here it is. The longer you allow demonic influence to grow and fester in your life, he said this, the more you start to lose yourself. The longer you go without help, I'm going to say longer you go without deliverance and even inner healing, and you could even throw this in, psychological help. The longer you go with this demonic influence, the bigger, the greater the stronghold they get, this is when a person loses themselves. They forgot who God made them to be. Yeah. You become an extension. This is what the Holy Spirit said. Ready? You become an extension of the will of the demons that are keeping you in bondage. I find it interesting. One thing that the demon or demons did in this individual, it said that he was driven by the demon into the wilderness. You know what that means? Recluse yourself from everybody. Demons fester. They grow their influence. They attack your identity when you stay away from people. And you just hide to yourself. Why? Because demons can get a deeper stronghold. They can get a greater stronghold. Now, have you ever known someone and you started to see a major change in them? Someone very close, they were very bubbly, right? You've seen a major change. They started to withdraw or pull themselves away from people. They aren't their carefree, their joyful, talkative, loving self anymore. Over a period of time, they start to get more negative. They start to get more angry, verbally abusive toward people. They're drawn to spiritually dark things and so on. You ever know anyone like this? In fact, you see it on the news all the time. You see it on the news all the time with murderers, with school shooters. Someone usually steps up after something tragic happens and says, yeah, I noticed that person was really starting to recluse. I noticed some dark signs that were happening. I noticed some very, very dark and negative turns in the person's attitude, in their personality, just something evil was happening. Listen, if you know someone like that, you need to step in their life now. Parents, you see your kids starting to do this stuff, you better step in now. Amen. Now. The school shooter in Oxford, the parents sitting in prison right now for how many years, whatever. I bet they're wishing they would have stepped in to their children's, that their son's life. The kid started, playing with Ouija boards. He started getting into these occult witchcraft video games. Get your kids away from that junk. Get it away from. I'm telling you, all you're doing is you're saying, demons, come right in. Have my children. Yep. Go ahead. Have at it. Free reign. Yep. I can't stand up here as a pastor and say, yeah, sure, go ahead and let them play that. No, it's opening the door to demons. This man in Luke 8, again, didn't start out this controlled or influenced by demons. It was a slow progression over time. The slow progression led to a man that lost himself, that lost his God-given identity in a pool of negative thoughts and confusion and emotional pain that allowed him, literally, to become a puppet for demons. That man became a puppet for demons. So lay down the pride and seek spiritual, psychological help and healing. Stop, here's what the Holy Spirit's saying today. Stop the demonic freight train that could lead to disaster in your life, in your child's life, in a friend's life. Get in the way and start talking to people. Amen? You see someone pulling away. You see changes start to happen. Step in. Let the Holy Ghost use you. Amen? To pull them out of that pit. To be ministered to. I'm on the last page here, by the way. Demons are very patient when inhabiting a person's body or soul. They will, listen to me very closely, demons will methodically attempt to break a person down emotionally for years. Yes. Demons, they don't care about time. Demons are they're dealing with the spiritual realm, right? They will methodically and patiently attempt to break down a person emotionally for years until they can fully express their evil ways through that human being. So don't give them that opportunity. Take advantage of the grace. Take advantage of deliverance. Take advantage of the healing that is available for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, demons, and the entire kingdom of darkness are very strategic, but listen to me, they are no match for a Christian that is willingly yielding to the Spirit of God, to the Holy Ghost, and for the Christian that is filling their heart with the Word of the living God. Church, it's time to rise up. Take responsibility for your own life and your family. It's time to commit everything to living a holy life for the promotion of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the advancement of the kingdom of God. Jesus paid for your freedom. Now it's time for you to seek it and start living it. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Exposing the kingdom of darkness. Prayer team, come on forward. Hallelujah. If there's anybody in this place, you have never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. I'm just going to say it like this. You're a punching bag for demons in the kingdom of darkness. And it's time for you to make Jesus Lord of your life. Not just for that reason to get free from them, but I don't want you living in hell and the lake of fire for eternity. It's eternity. When you take your last breath, it's over. Game over. Life over. Eternity begins in hell, and hell gets thrown into the lake of fire, the Word of God says eventually. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, come on down and tell a prayer partner, I want to get saved, born again today. If you never received the Holy Spirit baptism, and I'm telling you, if we're going to be effective against demonic spirits and the kingdom of darkness, you need all the power and anointing you can get. Amen? Come on down and say, I want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism. Now, maybe this message really hit you hard, and you're starting to realize, I have not taken seriously the spirit realm and the enemy. But today, this message really hit home. It hit home in my life personally. It hit home with my family. And I want to help people get pulled out of this pit. If that's you, just come on down to a prayer team member and tell them this message touched me. Let them pray over you before you go. If you need prayer for anything else, they will hang out for a moment and pray with you about anything. Real quick, I just want a couple announcements. Next Sunday, there's a membership meeting. Anybody that wants to become a member of Living Waters Chapel, you know, that's going to be next Sunday, right after service. We're going to, I don't know if we're having a meal or not. We are? Okay, we are. We're going to have a meal and a quick meal downstairs. Then Rob gives about, a half-hour presentation just on the history and what we believe. And now, just to let you know, what's the advantage of doing that? To be able to volunteer in the church, you must be a member. Come on. We're looking for people that are committed. Amen? We want people that are committed to the family here at Living Waters Chapel. And then next Saturday is the men's meeting at 8 a.m. The women's floating fellowship is at me and Marianne's house, actually, from 9 to 10:30. If you need directions, come and see, go see Marianne. Jane, yes.
They have my name on there.
On the sign-up sheet?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
No, on the bulletin.
Oh, really? Okay, it's at Jane's house. Okay. Oh, it's not. Okay. Ignore what the newsletter says. It's at Marianne and I's house, all right? And by the way, pick up a newsletter. Ignore that part of it. But pick up a newsletter. Everything else is on there, all right? Hope you got something out of today. Really just meditate on it. Go back, listen to both messages on YouTube. Share them with people, and let's get people set free. Amen?
Amen.
Love you all. We'll see you Wednesday night. God bless.